an Amber Alert for a four-year-old girl. Now at 7, we're live at the home where police say she was abducted 2 days ago. What's written on the van she could be in that could help them track her down? Shocking new images of the attacks on Israel. How hundreds of people are showing support for the victims here in the Triangle.
I'm tracking ups and downs in temperatures this week. Futurecast shows how warm it will feel before temperatures plummet again.
Right now, here at 7 o'clock, we are continuing to follow this breaking news. An Amber Alert issued out of Durham for a missing four-year-old girl. Thank you for being with us and good evening. I'm Dan Haggerty. Take a look. These are the pictures. This is her. This is Paisley Grayson, believed to have been abducted. WRAL's Aaron Thomas is joining us live from Durham with a description of the vehicle, the van, potentially, that everyone's looking for, and the suspect in this case, Aaron.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. In fact, we are live outside of a hosiery mill apartments here on Andrew Avenue. This is the location where investigators say that Mitchell Grayson severely beat a family member before taking his daughter with him and getting away in that getaway van that we'll explain in a little bit. Take note that this is not an active scene, as investigators say that this happened on Saturday, but we just now learned about this evening. Take a look. You can see the vehicle, the getaway vehicle that investigators continue to be on the lookout for. It looks similar to what you're seeing right now. It's a gray 2000 Chevy Astro van with the license plate HFS7433. It also has the words, quote, "take a picture, it'll last longer," printed on the back of the van. We spoke with several neighbors that live at this building. I asked if any of them have ever seen this little girl or the father before. They say that they don't look familiar, but they're definitely hoping for a safe return.
It's shocking because everybody's here is family. So it's really shocking.
Yeah, shocking when we're talking about a four-year-old girl who continues to be out there reportedly with her father. On our late news, I'm actually going to be speaking with the legal analyst who explains the circumstances that led to this Amber Alert being issued today when the girl apparently went missing on Saturday. Dan?
Right. Interesting there with the timeline, but let's hope she's found safe and soon. Aaron Thomas live in Durham. Thank you. Turning now to what's happening in Israel. Just astounding imagery coming from the Middle East. In the last 2 hours now, officials have confirmed at least 260 bodies were found at the music festival site where Hamas militants attacked over the weekend. You can see the just shocking images of the explosions and the destruction. Mark Boyle in the Live Center for us with a look at how some local groups, Mark, are showing support.
Well, Dan, we're seeing these support groups all across the country really here this evening. These are some live pictures coming in from Austin. Just one idea, one example of what we're seeing. This is a live picture coming in from our crew out in Durham at the Jewish Community Center there. This is off of Cornwallis in Durham. And we're also getting some new video in. We can show you that. This is from North Raleigh. We've seen this all evening long. Hundreds of people coming together. They want to show their support and solidarity of what is happening right now in Israel and hoping things turn around for the better sooner rather than later. Large group there right now. And as for the live pictures coming in from Durham, this one just getting underway, but people still showing up there right now. Love much more on both of these stories, both of the impacts locally in terms of Durham and Raleigh coming up for you tonight in Fox 50 at 10 and WREL at 11 o'clock.
Mark, thank you. Lots of impacts to discuss. Not to mention a WREL speaking to a Raleigh native, a mother of three currently in Israel, who, as you can imagine, is scared for her life at this point. Her name is Robin. She didn't want to use her full name, but she's been living in Israel since she graduated UNC Chapel Hill. She lives outside of Jerusalem and is fearful to go outside during these constant attacks.
An adult to leave the house to get basic necessities like food, milk, and water, then you risk the emotional damage of your children being alone during a siren.
Right now, Robin has no plans to leave Israel and come back here to Raleigh. That's what she has told us. The Jewish Federation here has started an emergency fund to send money and supplies to those in that war zone. We have a link if you'd like to help on our website, WRAL.com. Emergency officials in Wayne County say four people were airlifted and seriously injured from the Busco Beach ATV park this weekend. There were multiple accidents during the Fall Bash event. EMS officials say since 2013, people have died at Busco Beach. WRL reached out to the park's new owners there. We asked for a response to the injuries over the weekend, and we asked if they plan to have any changes, implement something different when it comes to safety there. The owners told WRL they are working on a response.
I've seen a lot of safe people out here. Obviously, there's thousands of riders, and I think if you play the odds, and as we talked about before, if you extrapolate that out over the all the riders in the country and the nation, unfortunately, you're going to have accidents.
There are some things you can do to make that activity a little less risky. They recommend, of course, wearing a helmet, keeping speed in check, and never drinking while on an ATV. Surveillance video shows yet another North Raleigh restaurant hit by burglars, this time in the early morning hours this morning on Falls of Neuse Road. Security footage showing the suspect climbing over a wall. This is Winston's Grill, throwing something into the window. This is around 3:34 in the morning. You see him running up the stairs there. He used a crowbar to break into the office and open the safe. Winston's owner, Will O'Neill, says the thief made off with some cash.
I don't understand why they're doing this, because there is no money in these places that they're hitting, but they're doing more damage and more than it should be.
O'Neill has 37 cameras positioned around his restaurant, which sounds like a lot, doesn't it? There's also an alarm system there, and it went off during the break-in. Winston's opened in 1986. It celebrates its 37th anniversary next week. O'Neill says this is the first time in all of that time that something like this has happened there. Raleigh taxi drivers are asking the city for their first raise in 17 years. The city, you see, sets the rate that cabbies can charge. And right now, that starts at $1.95 in Raleigh, and it hasn't changed since 2006. WRL's Matt Tallhelm talked with several drivers and taxi company owners about what they say is hurting their bottom line.
Think about how much your own car costs have gone up since 2006. The gas costs more, maintenance, insurance. And for these taxi companies, another thing's changed since 2006. There's now competition from rideshare services like Lyft and Uber taking away their business.
When Larry Rogers gets behind the wheel of his taxi and turns on the meter,
$1.95, that is the going rate to sit down in here.
It flashes the same base fare he's seen since starting as a cab driver more than a decade ago.
We've been promised, well, it's going to go up. You're going to get better pay, but it still stays right at the same thing all the time. It never moves.
The city-set mileage rates have been in effect since November 2006, with that base rate of $1.95.
What we're hoping to do is get that increased to around $6.50 to $7 in that range.
Adam Asfari and other taxi company owners are seeking that rate hike to help them offset rising costs.
That the rates need to increase for us to be able to afford our insurance, maintenance, driver costs.
Everything went up except for the meter. It's hard to find drivers because they cannot make much money.
The cab drivers are also now competing for customers with rideshare services, which don't have to follow the same city regulations and fare rates as the taxis.
Other companies, Uber and Lyft, don't have to do everything else like that, but we do. We have inspection every year, and we have to pay that amount.
It's hard for us to hold on like this. We don't know how much longer we can hold on.
Rogers says the rising costs with no raise have driven some of his fellow cabbies out of the business.
I want all of us to be able to support our families and pay our bills.
Some of those cab company owners have brought those concerns here to city council. The city tells me it is actively working on coming up with a new and updated fare structure for taxis. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
It's a tough business. The cab companies also asking the city to include an ongoing cost of living increase in that fare structure that they designed. The city telling us the recommendations they will have for these new rates should be ready soon. So almost a year now after that power station attack in Moore County. And now Duke Energy continues to upgrade its substations. The company is making some improvements across Durham, for instance, replacing poles and upgrading wires to account for higher demand. Today, Duke hosted a live line demonstration in Durham. People getting a look at some of the items that can cause issues on power lines and the importance of personal protective equipment.
The purpose of today's demonstration was just to continue our partnership with the first responders here in Durham County. They are critical to our success.
Duke Energy says today's demonstration was an opportunity for those first responders to learn about this equipment and to do so in a safe manner rather than in a stressful situation like during a storm or an event like that. The former superintendent of Wake County Schools has a new title. Governor Roy Cooper appointed Dr. Kati Moore to the State Board of Education. She will serve as an at-large member. Moore, as you probably know, spent more than 35 years in the Wake County Schools. She retired July 1st. The governor is set to take his second trip to Japan in just a few days. After the break, we speak with a member of Cooper's office about his plans for this trip and what he hopes to accomplish. Plus, it was a preview day at the State Fair. Coming up, a sneak peek at a couple of the treats and a few of the rides you don't want to miss. Kat?
And I've got a couple of features that we are watching on satellite and radar that could impact during the work week. One moving by tonight and this one in the Gulf. I'll outline both on future casts coming up.
As we welcome you back, we do want to remind you of this breaking news in the missing four-year-old girl out of Durham. You can see her picture there. Adorable girl. Paisley Grayson is her name. Police looking for her now. Supposedly, potentially traveling in a white van similar to the one you see on your screen with the license plate HFS7433. Gas prices across the state are starting to drop, which is good news. New numbers out today from Gas Buddy have prices down nearly 9 cents in the Triangle. Prices in Raleigh averaged $3.34 a gallon. That's 13 cents lower than a month ago. Nationally, the average price for a gallon is down 10 cents from just last week, sitting at $3.67. In Fayetteville and Durham, gas prices are also down compared to last week. Durham, you can expect about $3.48 at the pump. Fayetteville is the cheapest, around $3.18 a gallon. And remember, no matter where you are, you can always find the lowest gas nearby by searching fuel on WRL.com or using the WRL News app. So voters will head to the polls tomorrow in Cary, Durham, and Fayetteville for some big local elections. In total, people in nine counties will cast their votes in 30 municipal races. Some municipalities and counties are holding an election that day. However, others are not. Voters will be casting ballots for either a general election or for a primary. And remember, a big caveat here, you must have your photo ID when you go to vote. Do not forget it. Polls are open Tuesday from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. You can also visit the State Board of Elections website to check out your voter status and to view a sample ballot if you'd like. And you can also trust WRL to bring you those election results both on air and on WRL.com as they come in once the polls begin to close. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper is set to return to Japan next week. He'll be joined by state officials and economic development leaders there, hoping to promote global investment here in North Carolina, in our state. Joining me today to talk more about this, Lee Lilly, who, as the Director of Economic and Pandemic Recovery in the governor's office, has a lot of insight on this. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. This is not the governor's first time to Japan. This is an important relationship he's been working on.
That's right, Dan. Thanks. We're glad to be here. Governor last visited Japan in 2017, but he's been engaged with both Japanese government leaders and business leaders for years. Japan is our leading source of foreign direct investment in the state of North Carolina. There's about 30,000 people who go to work every day for a Japanese company, and we'll have several thousand more who start work in the next couple of years at Toyota, at Fujifilm, and at Honda Jet as they continue to grow here. So this is an important relationship as we look to grow good-paying jobs in North Carolina.
A lot of this conversation has been done the way that we all learned to do it through COVID, and on video calls and things like that. How important do you think it is to have that face-to-face and to be the ones taking the steps and making the travel to their country?
It's really critical in any relationship, but especially in working with our Japanese partners. They so value the face-to-face. And the opportunity we have here is with the Southeast U.S. Japan Annual Conference. It's the 45th meeting of it. It alternates between occurring in Japan and in one of our southeastern U.S. states. North Carolina will host next year in Charlotte, so it's extra important that the governor make it out to Tokyo this year so that we could continue to build on the momentum we've had of bringing good-paying jobs to North Carolina.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I have to imagine there's so much competition for this type of business, not just in this country and other states here in the U.S., but around the world. So what is the selling point when the governor goes over to Tokyo and sells North Carolina to them?
Well, we know we have a lot of competition from our neighbors in Georgia and Tennessee and Virginia. And what we try to sell, and we've sold successfully, being the number one state for business 2 years in a row from CNBC, is that we have the best workforce in the country. We have a great cost of living, and you can go anywhere in this state and find a wonderful place to put your business. And that's worked well for us.
What is the plan looking forward? for the type of investment that the governor hopes will happen here in North Carolina from Japan?
Yeah, the number one thing we're looking for are manufacturing jobs. Manufacturing jobs are really durable. They create great family-sustaining wages. What we brought in, again, with Toyota and these other examples, HondaJet, are the opportunity for people to come and make things. So that's what we're focusing on, looking at growth industries like biotech, clean energy, and aviation.
Hopefully it's not all business. Hopefully there's a chance to enjoy a little bit of the culture over there in Japan.
We're pretty back-to-back on the business meetings, yeah. But I think we might get an afternoon to tour Tokyo. All so right. We're looking forward to it.
Sounds good. Lee, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Dan. We appreciate the time.
Yeah.
And speaking of the selling points for this area, how about the weather and how about sites like this in Beaufort? Just absolutely gorgeous. I love this time of year. I know so many other people do as well. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us. It's just the fall is in the air. You can feel the season starting to slowly change. And I think, you know, people are ready for a sweater every now and then.
I absolutely love this time of year in North Carolina. It's so beautiful. And we're not even to peak leaf season here locally yet. So it's only going to get better from here. The downside to this time of year is the early sunsets. We are now less than a month away from daylight saving. But the state fair coming up later this week, 67 out there right now. Live look at Dorton Arena. You can see the Ferris wheel. I've been monitoring the progress. They still don't have the bright lights on it yet. Looking forward to seeing that in our nighttime shots here pretty soon. But the state fair kicks off Thursday. Gates open at noon, 73 degrees, 4 o'clock at 78 degrees. And by the evening, we're still in the mid-70s at 6 o'clock. If you're headed out to eat dinner there, by 8 o'clock, 66 degrees. Meteorologist Mike Mays is going to be out there on Thursday for opening day doing live weather. So be sure to say hello. We do have changes coming after Thursday. By Friday, we're mostly cloudy, 75. And then Saturday, we've got a chance for some showers, perhaps even a thunderstorm Saturday. The good news is a couple of things here. It doesn't look like it'll be a lot of rain, but also the state fair has so many indoor exhibits that you can check out if you do have to wait out a quick shower or storm passing through. A couple of systems to track before we get to that weekend cold front. We've got this area in the Gulf of Mexico, about a 20% chance it could develop into something tropical. More than likely, it would be a normal low pressure system. We've also got some energy passing to our north tonight, bringing some sprinkles into southern Virginia and a lot of cloud cover here locally tonight. Let's track this system in the Gulf, though. Tuesday, here's where it's centered, right there. As we move ahead into Wednesday, could be nearing the Gulf Coast and continuing to move to the north and east after that. This version of Futurecast, this is a European model, and many others have been pretty steady on keeping all this rain to our south with this system. However, if we were to see any kind of change in intensity, it became more likely to develop or anything like that, we could see a change in the trajectory. So it's still worth watching. At this point, we added in a 20% chance for rain Thursday for our southern counties in case we see any fluctuation in the track of that system. But the better chance for rain still looks like it's going to come at the end of the week. Wouldn't be surprised if we had a little bit of rain out ahead of this on Friday night. Saturday, though, will be the best chance for rain as we see a cold front swing through the area. Doesn't look like a lot of rain, though. The way it looks now, it would be less than a quarter of an inch of rain. Not great news if your yard needs it, but we'll be watching it closely. There's a 20% chance for rain tomorrow morning up in southern Virginia, mainly in our northern counties, still due to that system that's swinging through tonight. 51 at the bus stop, not quite as chilly, but we will have some 40s north of Raleigh. No 30s, though. By lunchtime, 72 and warmer tomorrow, getting up to 77 degrees for our high, which is actually slightly above normal for this time of year. A little cooler Wednesday due to mostly cloudy skies. Thursday looking nice for the start of the state fair. Friday, not too bad. We see those changes Saturday, but that's going to usher in some more fall fair weather. Upper 60s Sunday, mid 60s by next Monday, Dan.
It sounds good to me. All right. Thanks, Kat. It is a holiday celebration unlike any other. Next month, Woolies Winter Wonderland opens at the DBAP. So what are we talking about here? Take a look. First of all, you have to have some snow. It's wintertime, right? I mean, sledding. You can grab a tube and hit one of the frosty fun hill slopes. You can even chat with Santa. He'll be there. And his favorite elf, Wooly Claus. I feel like Wooly Claus is using Santa Claus. You know, he's okay with it. We double checked. We ran it past him. He's fine with it. It all happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. You can purchase tickets visiting WREL.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. The State Fair, again, just a few days away. After the break, a sneak peek into everything new and exciting for you and your family to enjoy. just 3 more days until your family can dig into all that delicious food and hop on the rides and take in everything that the North Carolina State Fair has to offer this year. It's going to be a lot of exciting times. Their gates officially open on Thursday. WRAL was able to get a little sneak peek of the fun today. Just take a look at some of the food that you and your family will be able to enjoy. Bacon berry cookie dough on a stick, egg rolls, a dill pickled donut, and much more.
So we have about 180 different food vendors. Plan your day carefully.
A pepperoni pizza funnel cake?
Yes, sir.
It has no calories, right?
No calories. Calories don't count at the fair.
Pulled pork mac and cheese Danish?
Exactly.
The fair is also home to 87 rides, the double-decker carousel. Everyone is sure to love that. Take a look. Very cool. Again, open at noon on Thursday. And you can meet some of the familiar faces you see here on WRAL. A lot of members of the team will be down there visiting the fair. You can find our tent at the northeast side of Dorton Arena facing Restaurant Row. On Thursday, we have Mike Mays and Keely Arthur down there from 2 until 3 in the afternoon. Friday, you can say hi to Jeff Hogan and Renee. They're both down there at 10:30 until 11. And myself and Lena, we will be down there from 2 until 3. Kat Campbell will also be there, and she'll be doing some live weather. But you can see all of us, and please come up and say hello. If you were watching, speaking of Kat, our late news during the final night of the IBMA Bluegrass Live, you may have noticed something special.
Bluegrass Festival continuing tonight in downtown Raleigh. Meet one man who's been coming here since the festival's inception.
I mean, first of all, that's not Kat Campbell. It looks like a little time machine. She went back in time. That's a doppelganger for sure. Kat, you put this on Facebook. That little side-by-side comparison, a viewer put that together. This has caught a little bit of fire. I like it.
And we found her within less than 2 hours. God. The power of social media.
Amazing. Thanks for being with us tonight. Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
Have a good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.